So, Samar, do you remember how we begin?
No.
I knew you were going to say no because you don't love me like you used to.
How we begin.
Okay, so we always start with a two claps and a Ric Flair. Do you know who Ric Flair is?
Yes.
Woo!
Woo, yeah.
Okay, so he does the claps and we all do the woo.
Okay, okay.
Gotcha. All right.
You look so good,
now,
girl.
I'm not going to forget that now.
Are you ready, Ann?
Yeah, let's do it. On count of three, two claps and a Ric Flair. Three, two, one.
Woo! Woo! Ooh, yes. You did it!
My voice is too deep to do the woo. It really is.
Welcome to the Dana Cortez Show. My girl, Samar's in.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Oh, my gosh. It was so wonderful to have you here. It always is.
Thank you.
But, you know, I've been such a fan for years. I don't want to fan out because when you're doing an interview, you're not supposed to fan out. But I have been. And now that I feel like we've known each other for a minute.
I know, and I follow you on Instagram.
I follow you too, girl.
You know,
so,
it's like, you know, when you follow people on Instagram, it's like,
your friends.
I know her.
Yes. Yeah, I know her.
So I wouldn't know Samar don't follow us over here.
She knows. She follows me. Oh, and what? I follow her.
I'm the only one. Right.
She follows you. Yes. She had to unfollow you because of all your trickery on there.
Yeah, probably.
But I look at you and I see how strong you are. How do you do that? I know that's a weird question.
You just do it.
Okay, how? But how? Because you enter a room with confidence. When you post, you're confident. Everything you do is with confidence. Has it always been that way for you?
Well, let me think. I don't know. I just have this, like for me, I like in my mind, even as a kid, like I always have this thing, like I felt special. I felt special in my hood. I felt special in my family. And I just carried it as so. I mean, that's the best thing I could do. I don't always feel confident, but I am who I am. I can't change it. I do the best I can, and that's it.
I love that. How did your family feel about you feeling special?
Well, they know. They know to get in line, you know? No, I think that, you know, I think that they were always supportive of everything I did. And we're like, I'm from a big family, but we're close. And we're supportive of everything, like everything each one of our cousins do. First of all, we address each cousin with each person with a label. It's like Aunt Donna, Cousin Lisa. So everybody has a title. Everybody has a title.
That's how Mexican families are. Yeah, Doña Maria, yes. Don Pablo. Yeah.
Everybody has a title, and every little thing you do, we're excited about it. So we support each other. So I grew up like that.
I love that because my nana used to tell me things like that, and I didn't believe it. Like, I wasn't always as confident as you are. And I still don't think I'm as confident as you are. I hope some of that rubs off. But a lot of times when people tell you that, you grow into it, but you've already felt that way.
Like, I have a niece. My niece is 8 years old. If you've seen her come into the room, I would make her go back. I'm like, don't ever waste a runway. Like, so she would rewalk this whole thing. Like, you enter a room. Right. I said, you enter a room, and when you went in there, you don't ever waste a runway. Like, I make them walk fast, you know, like, just having fun with it.
Do you feel it's important for you to tell younger girls, and of course, the women that are coming up in this industry too, to have that pride and have that confidence. Put your shoulders back.
Well, I think each and every one of us have unique qualities. I think that the more you're tapped into and in tune to who you are, you can tap into that unique quality. And I'm thankful that I found my unique quality earlier in life. And my unique quality was to be able to blend in, to move. I can move in just about any circle I go into.
You're just very comfortable in your own skin.
Yes. I'm very comfortable in my own skin. I know what I like, I know what I don't like, and I adjust within.
But I like what you said right there, because one of the things that she mentioned is she can move within circles. There's not everybody that can do that. So you're good at the country club and you're good in the hood.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? Exactly. So there's not without a lot of people can
without
do
without compromising my integrity. Meaning, like, I know what I like, I know what I'm going to do and what I'm not going to do.
I've always wondered this. How did you get into comedy? Like, how did comedy happen for you?
The beginning, girl.
Give me that. Yeah, I really want to hear this story.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I graduated from college. I have a degree in business administration, a minor in mathematics. I love doing math. My father, yeah, I love
crazy.
Doing math.
I love doing
and
math.
And listen,
Who says that?
I do math because they always said that women couldn't do math.
Oh, so you were like, I'm going to do some math.
That women can do math. And so my mother was an accountant. My father was an English teacher. My father's also an author. He's a poet. He's a photographer. So all these great things. Education was always important in our family. And so I was educated, but I didn't like school. So when I graduated, I didn't know what I was going to do. I had several businesses. So I was always an entrepreneur. I had a shoe store. I had a grocery store. I had a...
Before you graduated?
No, once after. I graduated from high school.
Oh, I was like, God, okay, okay.
No, I went to college.
Right,
to college,
and then you're
and then
pursuing
I started
all of these endeavors.
My own businesses. So right. I was broke. I mean, they weren't like... I wouldn't compete with Macy's or nothing. Like, we didn't have more than we did have. You know, those kind of stores. We got three bags of potato chips.
There's a lot of empty space.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know.
But you were trying.
Right.
You were trying.
So it was struggling. But my happiness is what I was really concerned about. So I was trying all these different businesses. And I mean, I was doing okay. You know, sugar daddy here and there, you know, helping to pay the extras. You
gotta
know,
do
girls.
What you gotta
I'm
do.
A young girl,
extra
you know.
Bag of chips
right,
in the
extra
store.
Bag of chips, right. So I was just one day I was broke. And I'm saying, okay, if I could do whatever it is I want to do, I have nothing to lose right now. I have nothing. I said, what would I do? And I said, I would be a stand-up comedian if I could just wanted to do anything. I went out and bought a book, and the book still exists today. It's called How to Be a Stand-Up Comedian. I read the entire book. I did exactly what the book said to do. Exactly.
And here you
what
are.
What the book said to do, and here I am.
Really?
It's so, the honest God truth.
I want you to think about, and I say this
I
to
mean,
people.
But it takes more to
well,
it.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
Read a book,
yeah.
And all of a sudden.
But what was important to me was that I knew the business of stand-up. That's all I needed to know. The business of stand-up, and then I worked on the craft. And the craft of it was being able to write jokes, and I think I got that because my father was an English teacher. So, yeah, that it worked.
That is an incredible story.
it
reminds me, obviously not exactly, but I always tell people, I tell my daughters, you know, you ever watch that movie Forrest Gump?
Yes.
The moral of the story is, if you do what you're supposed to do, in the end, things come out right.
Things come out right.
You read the book, you learn the business, and as a woman, especially a woman of color, like me being a Latina in this industry, do you feel like it's necessary for everybody in their craft to know the business behind
the
scenes?
Listen, I tell everybody as an artist, any type of artist that you are, you have to know the business of the business that you're going into. You have to know business in order to do business. And why it's important as an artist is because there's times when I've gone to auditions, right? On auditions, and I don't get the part. As an artist, I just want to cry all day. But as a business person, I know that, first of all, I probably was too tall for the actor. You know, that matters. I probably was too dark for the actor. Or somebody else was promised the part, or, you know, they have a business deal with her company, or, you know, like somebody else, it's deeper than you.
Yeah.
So you have to know that as a business person, exactly, and move on. But if you go in there only as an artist, you'll be somewhere crying and hate the business and frustrated. You have to know the business of it. So knowing the business of it, that doesn't make it easier, but you understand.
How do you think about these some of these newer young hip hop artists coming up, like the Cardi B's and the Megan Thee Stallions? How do you think they're handling their business? You think it's a good representation?
I don't know. The best thing I can tell people is that, you know, when you're hot and when you're moving, because I had to go through this, when you're hot and when you're moving and they're giving you all of this work and they're giving you all of this work, you have to know that they're giving you all of this money because you're young. And it's certain things that you don't know. The best thing you can do as an artist is talk to someone who came before you, because they're going to tell you, like as a young comedian, when I went out to Hollywood and I got me an agent and I'm working. I'm doing all these jobs. And one day I'm sitting up and I'm talking to a comedian that's well established in the game. And I found out that he only pays his agent 10%, and I'm paying 15%.
No.
So I'm saying, oh, that's negotiable? He was like, yes.
Got they mine down to 8.
They don't tell you. Look, they don't tell you that it's negotiable.
It
I'm like, oh, really? Bam, that's something I learned. So little things like that, you learn that things are negotiable. And just because people say it's one thing doesn't mean, you know.
And I love the fact that you come in town, you're going to sell your weekend out, and you're always the same person. And that's something else I try to tell people coming into this business. Be nice and be kind. Because what goes up must come down.
Listen, I am so shocked when I see artists that are arrogant.
Ooh.
It's obviously they don't know.
No.
Because
they
don't know. I never forget one day, I was about 10 years into the business. I had this tour lined up. And it was like 6 dates, six or seven dates. And it was for my whole summer. It was like $90,000. I'm like, yes, this is
doing it. I'm doing it.
This is getting ready to be hot. One phone call. They called and was like, we're going to go in another direction. I'm like, oh, what? Wait a minute. Who? What? Get these people on the phone. And yeah. And it's just like that. So as an artist, how can you be arrogant? Like you got to know that, no.
Treat people as you want to be treated. That's in any business. This business or any business, though.
But especially this business, because we've seen it time and time again, the arrogant people go away very quickly.
People are rude, too. I mean, it's
comics
just not
before
okay.
You giving you advice, too. And, like, along with a lot of your stand-up accolades, your career, your movie roles,
and everything.
Like, what I'm most proud of is that I executive produce all my own stand-up specials. I have 5, and I executive produce all of them.
That's hard work.
Yes,
keep
that's
that
hard
money.
Work. Yeah.
She said, yeah. Yes. Keep that money.
It's hard work.
As a executive producer of stand-up specials, right, and an original queen of comedy, with Monique bringing up the lawsuit against Netflix for the discrimination, do you think that holds legitimate weight, in your opinion?
I don't know what her deal, how her deal was structured. Like, I have a special that's out right now, and it's... The Rain Continues, and it's on Netflix. So I don't know. I don't know what her deal is like. So each individual deal is different. Maybe she felt discriminated. I don't know. But each individual person's deal is different.
Do you feel that there is discrimination within the industry for people of color, but women in color in general?
Of course, there's discrimination everywhere.
Did you see that some movie executive wanted Julia Roberts to play Harriet Tubman?
Is that not funny? Is that
girl?
Not
it's
funny?
Sad. It would be funny if it wasn't so.
That's funny
sad.
Though. That's funny.
It's funny because she played the mom in Blindside who adopted an African American.
Right.
That was funny to me.
No,
right.
That was Sandra Bullock.
Oh, that was Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
You got your wrong white women. You got your white women confused, Anthony A.
But think about Think about how I feel as a comedian. Like, I see people have television shows and they have movies, and then when it's a funny part, they never go get a female comedian.
Never.
They'll just go get an actress and they'll say, the hilarious. And I'm like, what makes
her
hilarious?
Funny.
Because y'all wrote something for her to be funny.
Yes.
So y'all say the hilarious. Instead of going to get a female comedian. So I look at things like that. And to me, that's discriminatory right there.
It is.
That's discriminating our craft.
I think you're still on top, though, because you look at everything in a positive light and you move on and you move on. And you're like, okay, that didn't work out. What's next?
Exactly.
If you just sit there and dwell and whine and cry, you can't force change and you can't make change. You just got to keep climbing that ladder. Okay, that didn't move. I moved to the right or the wrong, left. You know what I mean? Right. You just got to keep doing that.
And then also, you can't hate on the new stuff because it just shows that there's a shift. There's a shift, and sometimes you got to find a way either to get in front of the shift, to move to the side and say, I'm going to sit this one out, or you just find a way to make yourself fall in between the pattern.
One thing we can all be, I mean, change is necessary. Change will always happen.
Change will always happen.
So get ready for it. All right, so tell us a little bit about what's going on in your
life.
Oh,
my gosh.
Now that we got all the cheese.
My life is absolutely fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. I'm excited that the holidays are coming up.
Oh, girl.
Thanksgiving is always pressure.
Do you cook?
You're like me. We I love food. And I
can't
cook.
That was not the answer. You can't cook?
I can cook. My only problem is macaroni and cheese. I cannot make macaroni and cheese. Last year, I tried.
You got to be able to make macaroni and
cheese. Here's the problem I realized that I've been doing. I've been getting too many people's recipes.
Oh.
And I've been mixing recipes. Last year, I came out with a cheese pillow.
Oh.
It was way too much cheese.
That's worse. People
say extra
cheese.
You could just cut it with a knife. Oh. It was that much cheese.
It's a block.
Just a block of cheese.
A block with some pasta.
So I have a little bit of anxiety because I think I'm going to go with Patti LaBelle's recipe this year. And then I called my aunt. I go, yeah, I think I'm going to do Patti LaBelle. She was like, Patti, I can't believe you're going to go with Patti. So I'm like, don't put no more pressure on me. That's it. I'm not calling nobody else. I'm going with Patti this year.
So does everybody in your family take a dish to the Thanksgiving dinner?
No.
Who cooks?
Everybody cooks, and then you go around to everybody's
house. Oh, you go to everybody's house.
Okay. And for me, whoever owes me the most money, that's whose house I'm going to. They already know. You already know I'm coming.
You're like, yeah. I'm going to take a plate when I leave.
Two plates. Yeah.
Two plates.
I'm going there. Whoever owes me the most money, that's where I'm going.
Who's the best cook in the family?
Wow. You know, we go by breast size in my family, so I think my cousin Cecile is probably the best. My cousin Cecile, she can cook stuff.
What size bra is she?
She's like a double G, F, like a double G. I think she cooks stuff that no young person should be able to cook. She cooks like rutabagas. Like, who cooks rutabagas?
What is a rutabaga?
I have no idea. It's
exactly.
It's a vegetable that comes out the ground. So she makes rutabagas, things like that.
Who's the worst cook in the family?
Worst cook in the family has to be my Aunt Barbara. She has no children. No. Aunt Barbara can't make me nothing.
Oh,
nothing.
Not Aunt Barbara.
She don't got any practice. That's why.
Samore, thank you so much for stopping in here.
Thank you.
You are always so beautiful and so real, and I just admire you so much.
Thank you. Y'all come out and see the show this weekend. It is so funny.
Girl.
It is so funny. And, you know, as an artist, I'm always nervous because I love what I do, and I think that you should never take your audiences for granted. You should write new material.
Nice.
And I taped a special like 2 years ago. It came out last year. And whenever I do a special, like it's always pressure to write new material.
Yes.
I didn't even think that I could come up with new material. Like I was always stressing, but this set is so funny. I love it. Y'all come out, see the new material. Let's laugh. Have a great weekend. Stand up live this weekend. One show Friday night, two shows Saturday night, one fabulous show on Sunday night. I brought sequins, I brought feathers, I brought diamonds, I brought lashes. Baby, did I bring lashes? Everybody wear your lashes, your big lashes this weekend.
This is one of those perfect date night, girls' night. I'll get your
girls' night, date night.
Out.
It is fun.
And it's the weekend before the holidays. You need that break.
And wear your real outfits. You know that outfit that you've been holding?
Up.
Yes.
It's in the back of the closet with the tags that you've been waiting for a special occasion.
It smells funny. It smells funny because it's been back there.
Breeze it, girl.
Right. Febreze it down. Come on out. We're going to have a good time.
Some more right here on the Dana Cortez Show.
Let's do some tickets.
You want to get some tickets away?
Let's get some tickets away right now.
Let's do it. All right. 602-256-6983. Let's do a VIP package.
Oh, yeah. With the bucket of
reserve seating, $50 food and credit.
Yep, food and beverage
credit. For beverage. And a bucket of hard seltzer.
Yes, sir.
So you can have a real good time after the show, too. All right, call it now. Good luck. 602-256-6983. Some more on the Dana Cortez Show.
Yes.
Oh, good luck.
So, Dana, how do you do during the holiday?
I cook my own. I'm a good cook. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that I'm the only good cook.
No meat, though, right? You still no meat?
No, I eat meat.
You do meat?
Girl.
Oh, you do?
I cannot live without meat. But I don't eat a lot of meat anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm getting older. It's harder to process. So,
I don't do meat.
I'm serious.
You don't eat meat?
I remember you telling us that. So, I'm a good cook. Automatic doesn't cook. My daughters are going to be, two of my older daughters are spending Thanksgiving somewhere else, so they're not going to help me cook. So it's just me cooking, and I'll cook 7 courses, and it's just 3 of us. I love to cook.
Right.
I just don't have time.
You make macaroni and cheese?
I make mac and cheese. I make quiche. I'll do, you know, appetizers. We'll do Brussels sprouts with bacon and onion.
I like
I'll
a little Mexican
dressing.
Infusion into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'll do red chile and green chile, mashed potatoes. I do it all. You should come by if you're in town one day.
This is the time of year right here, right?
Bring your mac and cheese.
Girl, listen, you know I got to do a test run. And that's the thing, too. I do a test run before Thanksgiving just to see. Because you can't wait till the day of.
Yeah.
You know what you could do some more?
What?
This is just between us. Why don't you just order it from one of them real nice 5-star
pizzas
and just take it and say, look what I did.
I've done that already. I'm done with
that.
Oh,
they know? They know already.
They know, yeah.
All right.
I got to do it. Not just for me. I got to learn. I have to learn how to do this.
But how many recipes have you done?
Oh, my God.
So many you're on to the Patti LaBelle recipe.
I have no idea. People are inboxing me. They're like, some girl was like, honey, all you got to do is whatever you got, throw some Velveeta in that. Like, listen. See, that's the problem, listening to too many people.
Yeah.
You put sour cream in yours? No, you don't.
I do not put sour cream. I do mine. It's Mexican. It's a Mexican style. There's a garlic. There's onion. There's tomatoes. There's
a little crunchy on top.
Tomatoes. I know. It sounds crazy.
I've never had
it. It's really good. Ask him.
It's good.
It's like a salsa.
It's all together.
It's like a little bit of tiny tomato.
Just for flavor.
She cuts them up like...
So thin.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. And 3 different kinds of cheeses.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to brown the mac real good.
What's your cheeses?
Do I tell her?
Go, tell me.
Okay, you do cheddar cheese.
Cheddar.
You do Mexican cheese. Asadero.
I've never heard
Gotta
of
that. Got to do a little asadero. See, I never heard of that ruba either that your sister makes. And then you do a little Colby. And you just mix it all in there. And if you want to get fancy, you can put some truffle, but I'm not like that. But if you want to. I'm not a truffle person. You want me to send you the recipe? You want a Mexican Thanksgiving?
See, now you get ready to make me mess all the way up.
Now you're like, never
Patty with Dana. It's a pillow with tomatoes in it.
Now you're like, what is
Mexican cheese?
You show up with a mask. People are like, what is this? I don't know. We had soup pie yesterday at the office party.
Soup pie.
Somebody made a pie.
It was actually kind of tasty.
Yeah. She didn't let it sit long enough.
They had a pie contest yesterday, and the chocolate pecan pie actually won.
Yeah.
Chocolate pecan.
It was so good, girl. I'm not even going to lie. All right. Well, let's give these tickets away. And
hilarious.
I love you, girl. I'm so
thank you. I appreciate y'all for having me.
I'm always excited.
We love seeing you.
They said support. And then, hold on. They said, she can't be here at 8. I said, that's okay. Anybody else? I'd be like, why not?
She's coming.
She got to get ready.